So welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 24, and it's a welcome from me, Steve Litchfield, from...
Me, Rafe Blanford.
From myself, Ewan Spence.
And Stefan was going to join us, but he's not available, so we'll press on regardless. It's the threesome from All About Symbian here. News this week. Ewan, first, can you take it away with the Engage news?
Yes, the Engage has decided to vote for Scottish independence. Given that everybody else is chipping in on that argument, I thought. Now, the Engage doesn't have any position on a referendum. What it does have a position on is Mile High Pinball, which has finally come back out onto the platform over the weekend. And very nice it is too. Incredibly close in design of the tables to the original Mile High Pinball on Engage Next Generation 1. So it's really a porting of that application, but to be honest, it was one of the better Engage applications the first time round, and the larger screen has made it a lot clearer, and I suspect it's going to get a lot more fans in the background as well. I think the only thing that gets me about this is it doesn't have a tilt option. One of the great things on pinball tables is you can bang the side when you know that your ball is about to go through the gap. It doesn't have this option, and being a bit of an aficionado, I kind of went, oh no, where's my tilt? Because I think the thing to remember about Mile High Pinball is it looks like a pinball game, but it's actually a platformer. You've got to move your character, which is in this case a ball, around the screen, destroying enemies by hitting them on the head, landing on platforms, picking up flowers so you can get onto the next screen. It's a vertical platformer.
Yeah, I was really impressed by Mile High Pinball. I like many people, I've been waiting for this as one of the killer games on Engage, and I wasn't disappointed. I mentioned in my news post trailing the review and all about Engage that I thought this could be one of the games of the year. Rafe, have you tried it?
Yes, I've tried it, and I've actually found it, like you two, I found it very addictive. And I'll agree with you, and it's actually more of a cross between puzzle and pinball game than pure pinball game. And, you know, I found it frustrating at times when you drop back through the different layers of the pinball machine and have to repeat things, to the point where I had to put the phone down to stop myself swearing at it. But I did manage to play all the way through to the end. And one of the things I particularly liked about Mile High Pinball is there's some pretty good music to go with it. And I think it's sort of the ideal mobile game because you can play it for 30 seconds or for half an hour, and the experience is very similar. And, you know, as an example of what Engage can do, also in terms of some of the arena functionality, the multiplayer stuff where you can play versus games, as well as sort of upload and compare scores, it's certainly one of the better Engage games in that respect. So yes, gets the thumbs up from me too.
Great. Ewan, there's also been some news leaked out. Well, I don't know, leaked. Apparently there was a non-disclosure agreement, which everyone seems to have ignored. So what news has come out about Project White Rock?
I never signed anything. So as far as I'm concerned, no NDA here. But in all seriousness, Nokia did get a bundle of the journalists and the press into their offices late last week to have a look at Reset Generation, which is the actual name for Project White Rock. This is Nokia's big game. This has been in development for years. This has taken everything that's been learned in terms of mobile gaming, in terms of multiplayer, in terms of online. Scott Foer is executive producer behind this, who's behind Pocket Kingdom, and has really done his best to try and lift the bar on what a game can do, irrespective of it being a mobile game. What we have is a turn-based action strategy game, with lots of characters harking back to the sort of 80s and 90s period. So you have a plumber, you have a big space monster, and there's a hedgehog as well. There's various characters who have no correlation to any other IP on the planet, Your Honor. And what they have to do is they have to get to castles to rescue princesses. And you've got to rescue princesses from other players. We're still not 100% clear in the gameplay. There's screenshots out there. We're still waiting on gameplay videos and getting a hands-on. They're slowly revealing more information. I think the big danger here, certainly for people watching this, is that they've been keeping it quiet and just, you know, sort of parceling out the information to build up the tension and the appetite for this game, which you have to hope they can deliver. But it is worth pointing out that you know, the people who are seeing that are only a very small subset of engaged players. They're not the main gaming press. The main gaming press really got their first sight of this game last week and have just went gaga over it. I mean, Edge magazine devoted 6 pages to this game. IGN put it on the front page. I think Nokia are going to have a winner here, and it's due out somewhere 2008. It strikes me that in the same way as the Engage client was sent out when it was ready, not when there was a deadline, it's the same fear for Reset Gen. It will be here when it's ready and not before.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And Rafe, there's something about Reset Generation being PC-based and web-based as well. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, that's right, Stephen. Actually, I think this is one of the most interesting aspects of the game. What it basically involves is that on the PC side of things, it's going to be embeddable into web pages, much like other web-based games. But the difference is it's going to be exactly the same gameplay or the same version, as you like, as is on the mobile game. And PC and mobile gamers will be able to interact and play the same game. And the web version is going to be completely free, whereas obviously you'll have to pay for the Engage version. It'll be, again, probably about £8, €12, something like that. But what's the innovation here is you really are having people who are playing on PCs and playing on the mobile playing together, and in the multiplayer versions it won't matter whether you're playing on the web or playing on the mobile, you'll still be able to play together. And there's certain things on the web version of the game that are sort of designed to help spread the message, and if you like, it's a viral way of spreading the game. And I think in terms of sort of big plans, Nokia's idea is that people play it on the web and they may get attracted into Engage that way. So it's a great way of getting Engage out beyond its perhaps core audience and normal users and encouraging more people to try it. Now, whether they'll actually get people to buy Nokia phones is of course open to debate. Maybe that's a big strategy, but what I think it might do is people who've got Engage might be more encouraged to give it a go if they played Reset Generation elsewhere. And I'm sure both of you are aware of the popularity of things like embedding games into Facebook or indeed any of these sort of web applications. I think it's something like Tower Defense, which sort of took the web by storm in terms of a web-based game. And if Reset Generation proves to be sort of addictive and have good gameplay, I don't doubt that the same thing could happen there. So, you know, and that's basically a first for a mobile game. I can't really think of anything that does a similar thing. So Nokia certainly pushing boundaries with Reset Generation. It'll be very interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, they're definitely thinking outside the box. Things like the FIFA Engage giveaway and even the Mile High Pinball giveaway of codes for the early testers, they're all showing signs that the Engage team are really pushing the boundaries and being generous in order to attract users, which is great.
And being really switched on this time around about the way they're marketing it and being really smart. They've obviously taken a lot of lessons on board from last time. Certainly the initial signs are very encouraging. And some of the other games that are coming up in due course also look like they could be quite good. One is the fighting game, the sort of 3D games look very impressive. And so, you know, so far so good, I think.
Yeah, I'm also really looking forward to the pool game and the golf game, of course, being two of my particular favourite genres. And I know you, Rafe, are pretty keen on things like golf as well. So
absolutely,
they're going to be great to review in detail. And I've got that one firmly pegged in my diary.
I think it's also worth pointing out that the idea of, you know, the giveaways and everything, because Nokia make a profit from the handsets, unlike the traditional console model where you make a huge loss in the console and have to rely on extra sales or a big bank account to do giveaways. Which is what Microsoft did with Xbox. They had to give away so much money to keep the Xbox price down, and only now is the Xbox department starting to actually make a profit. So yes, Nokia are thinking out the box and are giving away copies of games and everything, but really the investment they're making is probably still less than something like Microsoft did on the Xbox thing. So we do need a bit of perspective here. I think Engage is still going to be run at reasonably revenue neutral, unlike comes with music, and it will, you know, so yes, they're thinking outside the box in terms of mobile, but in terms of, you know, they are moving slightly towards that console model of Razors and Blades. It's just that they get to make a profit on the Razor as well.
Yeah, okay, well that's pretty good coverage and analysis on Engage. Can we just move on now to go to a communication sense, which is something that came out of Nokia Beta Labs this week. I know Rafe's been trying it in depth, so perhaps you could just briefly give us your impressions and an overview of what it does.
Yes, Communication Center is basically an add-on to PC Suite or a PC application that allows you to manage your contacts and your messages on your Windows PC. So what it effectively does, it loads up contacts and messages from your phones and presents them in an application on the PC. And you can do things like add new contacts and edit existing ones. And obviously there's advantage there when you've got the bigger screen of a PC and a full-size keyboard. I think particularly relevant for people who don't sync to something like Outlook. I know I certainly do most of my data entry in Outlook and then sync it to the phone. If you don't do that, this kind of tool is going to be great for you for putting new contacts in. Or if you're going onto a Nokia device for the first time and looking to get stuff into your new device when you haven't been able to transfer it from an old one. The messaging component's also quite good as well. This allows you to send SMS and MMS messages from your PC, and obviously they are sent to the phone and then sent out over the network. But again, it's about having full access to the keyboard and the bigger screen. But it also offers some extras, like being able to back up the SMS messages in a CSV file. So if you're particularly keen to keep your text messages, this is a good way to do it. And there's sort of good tools for things like forwarding and filtering. And one of the things I particularly liked was the ability to search through your message inbox. Now, I've got about 500 or so messages in my inbox. And if I'm looking for a particular one, for example, you know, maybe some information or a download link, I can just put a search in and very quickly bring up the information on the PC. And obviously, you can do the same thing on the mobile, but having a PC component adds an extra dimension. And of course, there's things like printing support. It is in very early beta at the moment, so there are a few stability issues, and not everything is quite fully implemented yet. But if you want to give it a go, it's available at the Beta Labs website, and they're looking for feedback as to whether this should be integrated into PC Suite. At the moment, there are some things in PC Suite that do this, but I think this is a much more fully rounded and mature tool. So I, for one, hope it goes into PC Suite as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Carry on, Ewan.
It always surprises me that that these things come out, and you look at it and you go, well, that's so obvious. Why didn't we have that back in 2001, 2002? It just seems to me that there seems to be this huge catch-up going on. It's like, so all of a sudden we seem to remember that you've got a PC there, and you've got a big screen and a keyboard. And, you know, we kind of had that facility really early on, but we kind of ignored it. It strikes me that it's great that it's happening now, but really these should all be default features. These should have been around 5 years ago.
Well, I think it's easy to say that, but I also think it's the curse of the edge users. You're always looking for the next thing. In terms of, you know, when something has come out, you sort of go, well, that's boring. But in terms of the mass market, this is going to be fairly innovative, I feel. And I think for someone, you know, who's not necessarily a techie, saying, oh, great, I can edit my contacts and send messages from my PC to my phone really easily. And if you're using something like a Bluetooth connection, bear in mind that this can automatically connect when your mobile phone comes up to your PC, and you'll be able to send SMS messages really without thinking about how it works. And as I say, it's kind of the curse of the edge user that you sort of go, well, this is obvious and shouldn't we already got this? Well, yes, perhaps we should have done. But I think Nokia, when we're talking about a product like PC Suite, which is used by a lot of their users, you know, we're talking about, as much as anything, the mass market of people using it rather than sort of the edge case. Maybe that's sort of a bit conservative, but, you know, that's the way it works. And ultimately, you have the sort of things do happen quite slowly, relatively speaking, in terms of going into big, mature products like PC Suite. But, you know, I still think it's a good addition to see, and of course, you know, we always want to see innovation happen more quickly.
Yeah, it's just interesting in Nokia PC Suite how many different ways you can do certain tasks, and I just happen to be writing a tutorial on it for a PDS Entrance magazine at the moment, and it's quite not confusing so much as bamboozling, the sheer number of ways in which you can do this job X in five different ways. For example, when converting videos or music for use on the smartphone, I get the feeling PC Suite is amorphous. It's constantly changing. It's better to have something that's constantly changing and improving than something which is totally left frozen and forgotten by a manufacturer. So in that sense, it's positive. But I'm longing for the day when PC Suite focuses in and gets mature and elegant. And it looks like it does the job, and does the job elegantly and efficiently. So I'm hoping Nokia will get there. There's also, the major point that sooner or later we have to bring in the online side of the equation. For example, I love syncing my smartphones to something like Google Calendar and Google Contacts via GooseSync, and there's the systems like Zibe, which do the same thing. Ultimately, our data will be in the cloud, and I suspect PC Suite is going to have to tie in somehow into OviSync, which is also on the boards. And then with OviSync on board, then you can have your data synced seamlessly through your PC, through its browser into Ovi, and wherever you are on the planet, whether you're mobile with you or not, you've got access to the same data.
Which interestingly, is Microsoft's approach with the mesh that was announced in March and has just come out in alpha from Ray Ozzie and the tech team there. At the moment, it only runs with PC and Windows Mobile, but they have promised to look at the support for the Nokia and other smartphone devices to have this amorphous cloud of your information accessible, one set of data from many, many internet-enabled devices. So, you know, it might be that we have another way, or that Ovi somehow finds a porting through the Microsoft mesh as well as these other online sync systems. So it's certainly one that all the manufacturers are dealing with to a certain extent, some of them more public than others.
Okay. Let's move on to devices now. There's three devices I want to chat about briefly. There's, just to give you a heads up, we're talking about the i450, the Samsung device, which he's reviewing in a moment. There's also, Rafe's been looking at the Nokia 6122C in the Chinese market. But first, I just want to mention briefly the black Nokia N82, which OneWorld sent over for a two-week loan. And I want to emphasize to all the readers out there, in the comments on my N82 black review, I was virtually accused of bribery, and I just want to make it clear at this point that none of us bloggers, you and Rafe, myself, Stefan from Mr. Mobile, all the other people you see reviewing N82s, N81s, and 95 gigabytes on the web, none of us get to keep them. We have to send them back sooner or later. So these are not bribes. OneWorld and Nokia's outreach program is very generous in letting us play with these things, but our opinions are our opinions. We're not being influenced in any way whatsoever. Rafe, any official policy?
I just want to add to what Steve said. I mean, the thing about reviews is inevitably they are opinion-based, and we do change our minds over time when we use stuff. But I'll also add, and for the vast majority of All About Symbian reviews, more than one person's actually tried the product, and it passes through a sort of editorial filter to ensure that we're talking about the right thing, and talking about something where we sort of all agree. And of course, there are disagreements all the time. But it's interesting, just to reiterate what Steve says, you know, most of the time these are just device loans that we have for a few weeks. Actually, on occasion, we end up buying the devices ourselves in order to be able to get early access to them. And obviously, with the result of that, sometimes we sell them off and sometimes we keep them ourselves. For example, the N95 8GB, which is my main device at the moment, is one I bought basically after reading Steve's review of it and after having played with it for a little bit at various shows because I liked it so much. And we do appreciate everybody's feedback. So if you disagree with what we say about a device, please let us know. And actually, we're quite happy to put some reader comments and reader reviews up on the site and sort of integrate that into our own views. But, you know, do bear in mind that these things are subjective. We do, of course, try as much as possible to give every picture of the device. And when we do a review, we try and divorce ourselves a little from our own position and put across a point that a device is targeted at a specific market. I think a good example of this is something like the Nokia E51, which I think is one of the best smartphones currently available on the market. It's a great size, great build quality, things like the one-touch shortcut keys and the keypad are all really nicely done, yet it's not for everybody because it doesn't have the multimedia features, it doesn't necessarily have all the firmware upgrades that bring in extra features like we've had on the N series. But for some people that would be the device I'd absolutely recommend, but others would probably hold up their hands in horror at it. And with the N82 in particular, my personal opinion on this is that the N82 is probably the best top-end N-series smartphone to recommend to the ordinary person because it's slightly more approachable, I feel, than the N95. Comes in at a slightly lower price point and offers the things that people are really interested in for that particular market, which is, I say, the great camera and, you know, being quite a durable device, whereas the N95, I feel, sometimes you have to treat a little bit more gently. But as I say, you know, if you do have an opinion, do let us know. And we do appreciate all feedback, of course.
Yeah, that's right. Ewan?
It's fair to say that it works the same on the software side as well for the reviews. But interestingly, you know, when a new phone comes out, everybody knows there's a new phone. So if there's a clunker of a phone or one that we think misses the mark, kind of, which Steve, I think the Samsung i550, which you reviewed as a case in point now, is, you know, we do review the phones because they're there. In terms of software, when we find something that is, you know, atrociously bad or horribly buggy, we tend not to post a review. We tend to write back to the developer and go, excuse me, this is a complete cock-up. What have you done? And not mentioning company, but we have had at least one of those recently. Whereas if we'd reviewed it as it stood, it would have scored in the low third, high 20s, low 30s. Turns out, of course, we found one of these obscure bugs that only pops up once in a while, and they need to come back to us. So software reviews, we tend to, you know, the better ones are there. The ones that are worse, it's usually because we can see where to improve them.
That's a good point. And indeed, you know, we do take that attitude with hardware sometimes, and we'll note that something doesn't work perfectly, maybe fixing a firmware update. That's particularly the case when we're writing device previews or prototypes. But we do try and provide a good quality and a good message about a device as possible so that you can make an informed decision. But if you think we're not doing something right, as I say, do let us know about it.
Yeah, that's right. In terms of the going back on topic, the black NEC2, just before we move on, I really think that the colour scheme change has made a huge difference in terms of its attractiveness, its real-world usability, and that you can actually see what letters and numbers are assigned to which key. And I know I should know how to do this in the dark. I know all you guys can do 40 words a minute on your keypad using T9 in pitch dark conditions, but I'm still a bit of a newbie. I switch between QWERTY and T9 and other PDAs, and I still have to look and see which numbers are on which letters are on which key. So I find the white on black immensely usable.
One thing about the N82 is it is slightly dimmer in terms of screen than something like the N95, but for my money it's actually a bit crisper because the actual physical size was a bit smaller. Is that the same?
Yeah, the screen's still the same resolution, size and dimness. I suspect very strongly that this is actually something they've purposely crippled, I use that word in quotes, in the firmware. And I suspect a firmware update, if they chose to increase the backlight brightness, they could do so. And the reason I can tell that is under certain conditions, when you've got keylock on, an alarm pops up. Just for a few seconds, the screen goes up to full brightness, much brighter than the current standard max brightness, and much brighter than the N95. So the power is there in the physical NEC2 display hardware. Nokia just deliberately choosing not to use it, I'm guessing, for reasons of conserving battery life. But Nokia, if you're listening, please tweak this in the firmware, because I, for one, would like a brighter N82 in future. Okay, moving on, the Nokia 6122C and China. Rafe?
I'm just going to mention this very briefly. This is actually another one of these S60 phones that's an operator variant, and is supposedly exclusive to the operators. The 6122 is actually identical to the one that got announced for Vodafone, which is the 6124, and in the same mould as the 6650, which was announced for T-Mobile. It's essentially the 6120 Classic, the phone from last year that's, I think, is at the time and still is one of the best small, cheap S60 phones available. In a new case, you know, the buttons are a little bit bigger, which is a good improvement over 6120, and a slightly new look. But I think it's particularly significant given that it's for China Mobile, which has a customer base of 400 million, which is an awful lot of people, and China is going to be a market to watch. So it's very encouraging to see S60 sort of getting a custom device into that market, and I think that can only be positive for S60 volumes, which is going to be good for the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, okay. Third device of the three wanted to mention was the Samsung i450. Ewan's already had his first part of his review up. What's coming up, Ewan, and what are your impressions so far on this device?
I'm sorry, I don't do impressions. I'm only a software reviewer. thank you very much to the airplane.
I was giving you a rim shot on my virtual drum kit.
Anyway, the i450 is Samsung's... I don't know how to... I'm stuck whether to describe it as a low mid-range phone or a high low-end phone. It's probably going to end up in the, I suspect in the UK this is going to be free with the 18-month contract. It's Series 60. It's plastic casing. It looks very much like your regular standard pick it up for a cheap price phone, but with S16 it's very software powerful. Yes, it does have some compromises. It's only 2 megapixel camera. It doesn't have Wi-Fi. Everything's going through 3G. And there's every chance it's not going to be picked up by a number of by the UK operators, which is a shame because this is a really nice phone. When we were talking about perceptions earlier about the N82 and the N95, the perceptions of the i450, you know, it's cheap, it's fun, it's light, it's delightful, it's nice to use, and it's specifically geared towards music as well, and you know, so it's got the dual slider like the N95, but instead of the four raised plastic buttons, which feel rather like a ZX81, we have a kind of little bit of a circle, which acts like the click wheel on the Apple iPods. You can move your finger up and down over the top bit that's slid down, and this scrolls through all your music tracks, as we can hear here, little bleeps. And if you can touch it in the middle, it's play, and at either end, it's fast forward or rewind. It's a great interface, and it's one that's dead easy to use in your pocket. You know, when it's dark, with the lights out, push down the slider, run it back and forward, press play. It's the sound quality. We've talked before about this many a time, that sound quality is now really determined on the MP3 you use as opposed to the sound chip. It's a 3.5mm stereo headphone socket, so you can use anything from your $299 cheapos to your $1,299 in your custom molds. It's just a nice phone. It's mid to low range. I suspect wherever it does go on sale, it's a good price. And yeah, it's the sort of thing that the mass market S16 Symbian OS has been promising for a long time. Unlike the i550, which tried to go up against the high-end phones and kind of failed, the i450 is aimed squarely at the 6120 market and competes very, very adequately.
Yeah, so it's fairly unpretentious, and I think the same comments about the i450. If anyone is thinking of transferring across from a different S60 device, you will get hit because a lot of the Nokia, in particular, written utilities won't run on the i450. But as Ewan says, the people who buy this are going to be new users in whichever market it's sold, and they're not going to worry too much about what they're missing from Nokia. We'll just move on briefly to a final topic for discussion, and I suspect that this particular subject will run and run. I'll end up doing a big text feature on the main site itself. It's location-based search. Now, just if I could explain what I'm actually after, what I want is a system that knows where I am. My phone's got GPS, and if it hasn't got GPS, it's got cell tower information. I want the utility to present information about where I am in terms of mapping. I want it to give me search facilities for what's around me, ATMs, hotels, restaurants, and so on. And I want to know who's around me in terms of my friends and contacts, and I want it all in real time. And several systems out there kind of promise this, but don't quite deliver.
Yeah, because you don't really want much, do you, Steve?
Well, I think we're nearly there. There's no reason why we couldn't have most of this today. I'll run briefly through the contenders, and I'll be covering these probably on the site in a lot more detail. But Google Search, their new mobile website, it's web-based, even with the S60 startup utility, but it's reliant on manual location. You have to type in your postcode or village. Why? Given that it's a native S60 launcher client, why couldn't it somehow pass through your GPS location or cell tower location? There's Yahoo Go 3. A Java client this time, but it's GPS aware, which means it should be able to give exactly what I want, and yet its POI database, the points of interest, is really poor in the UK. I search for hotels near here, and I got places 5 miles away, and it completely ignores some of the more close ones. There's Google Maps, which is basically a mapping-focused product, but it's native S60 now, of course. It has GPS information, of course, cell tower information, yes, and it's got a pretty reasonable POI, but it's very data-intensive and very graphically intensive. Microsoft's m.live.com, which is similar to Google's mobile site, but it's not really quite as slick, and the POI database is poorer, and it's also reliant on manual location input. Finally, I've been playing with things like Gypsy, which is a new service, and that's location aware. It's a native S60 program. It's got GPS facilities, but it's mainly focused on your contacts and where they are and what they've been up to, which is kind of imagine how I imagined JIQ would end up, who Google bought last year, of course, how JIQ would end up when JIQ adds in GPS facilities. I'm really pinning my hopes on a JIQ, Google Mobile, Google Maps mashup product combining local contact awareness, with useful and detailed, automatically position-centered POI lookups. Now, I'm not asking for much, am I? So I think these things will happen over the next couple of years. I'm going to do a pretty extensive feature and do some test cases to see what I can search for and see what's the best solution this year, though. Ewan, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
I agree with you completely, Steve. You know, this is a coming technology. It's not quite there yet. I mean, actually, if you use the Google local search, actually, and just by putting in your postcode, I find that it works pretty well, and there's bits of mapping integrated, but it's just not the sort of rich experience and easy-to-use experience that I'd like to see. So, you know, only once everything gets integrated will the promise really be delivered. And I feel like we've got the constituent components. It's just we need the glue to stick it together. And just, you know, one area where it might be possible to do this very easily is when this, you know, the widget type technology comes in that we were talking about in earlier weeks, and being able to mash some of these things together, you know, people could come up with their own solutions, because a lot of the time it's very customized to how you want and what you want in particular. So it's quite difficult to design something that will appeal broadly to a lot of people. But it is a certain frustration that this technology should be possible, and we've been talking about location for years basically in mobile, yet it's yet to really deliver on its promise. And I do feel, you know, local search is the one thing that is relatively low hanging fruit that could be delivered very quickly. And then, as you say, Steve, tie in some of the other information in terms of, you know, present things like Jaiku, and, you know, that's the sort of thing that I see as becoming one of the really killer user experiences on mobile in the future. I hesitate to use the word application because I don't think it's going to be about one particular application, but at the moment we don't really do this sort of stuff on our phone, but I suspect, you know, 5 years time it will just be second nature to have all this kind of thing integrated.
So this time that was me introducing Ewan and getting Rafe this time. Rafe!
Well, I just found it incredibly amusing that the one person screaming out for GPS and location-based search is the one person who won't go 500 yards away from the centre of Reading, Steve.
that's a bit hard.
That's completely untrue. He goes to the Quantox loads.
That's true, yeah.
I travel around a lot, just not outside the UK. It's going out...
You travel around a lot just so you can review GPS stuff.
And that is a jolly good reason, as Rafe will back me up.
Absolutely.
All the reviews appear on the site. Going back to the location-based searching, my bets, I have to say, are on Google to actually integrate all this first, especially as they're the guys who bought Jaiku. But it's a fascinating area to play with and to watch, with Microsoft's Live Mesh and even Yahoo staying in the game, and all these third parties like Gypsy. Someone's going to get there first, get mass market traction and real numbers of users behind them, and then they'll probably be taking it away. I suspect it'll be Google, but who knows?
I actually suspect it will be Nokia. I think Google will be the first to get it in America, but I think, you know, because when you have, you know, the Google web and phone services, you know, 1-Goog, for example, I think they will get America, but I think the rest of the world, I actually think Nokia's map is actually a better bet than Google, for, certainly in Europe and the UK.
Yeah, there's quite a way to go for Nokia Maps to reach out in some of these areas that the other clients I've been talking about handle. Rafe?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's easy to sort of go, oh, this is going to happen soon, but, you know, things always take a bit longer than I expect in mobile. You know, just as smartphones took, you know, have taken 10 years to really become established and accepted. But I do feel like there's several things converging together that are helping this, and, you know, the likes of software platforms and, you know, web services, you know, with Google developing over the last few years, and also, you know, things like the widget technology, but also, of course, and very importantly, GPS becoming standard in phones, because that provides a way of basically free location data, whereas previously we've been dependent on the operators who've been reluctant to give that data away for free. So as you say, these things are all coming together now. It's just a matter of tying them together, and obviously it'll start at the high end. And I do agree. I think Google will have a part to play in this, but for it to get mass market adoption, it may well have to be the device manufacturers like Nokia who introduce the basic stuff first, and you know, we'll all be playing on the edge with the experimental stuff that ties in presence and the Jaiku type technology, and of course anything else, because I think the most interesting thing about this is all the coolest applications and user experiences have yet to be invented, because there's almost unlimited possibilities with this stuff. But just a note of caution, these things do take a while, and so I'm sort of wary of hyping it up too much.
Yeah, having said that, it's going to take a while. There's still plenty to play with at the moment, which is why we'll still press ahead with playing and doing features and reviews. I think that's all we've got time for this particular Insight, number 24. So
I think just one little note of congratulations. and that would be to the guys over at Mouser, Mike Rowell and Ross Beatty, who are long-term friends of All About Symbian. And Mouser's had a rough time over the last month, but they just announced as we start recording that they've been purchased by the .mobi consortium, and they will be using Mouser technology to help drive mobile content adoption at a much wider and larger range than the guys ever could from the base out in Silicon Valley. So congratulations, that looks to be a bit of a success.
Well, that's breaking news as we record this, but of course you won't hear it till Monday, so by then you'll have seen Ewan's extensive news piece on the same subject, so you can read that and get more detail.
And when you do see it, email me and let me know so I can write it, which should work.
There. Yeah, you can tell there's a Doctor Who fan here with Time Lords and time travel very much at the forefront of his imagination. I think that's all we've got time for. So it's the thank you from me, Steve Litchfield in Reading, also from
me, Rafe Blanford in Sussex.
And me.